Guten Tag. Good morning. How are you? You good? You still vibrating in the presence of God? Thank you, God, that we serve a living God and not some dead religious idol that is deaf, mute, and dumb who does not speak. We serve a God who speaks and a God who is real and who lives in and among his people. Thank God. That's good news. He's real. Hey, pray with me for a moment as we jump in, okay? Father, thank you for your word today. We thank you for your presence among us today. We thank you for what you've already done, what you've released in worship. As we've honored you, you've honored us with your presence, oh God. Oh, thank you for your presence, God. There's nothing more wonderful, oh God, than your presence. You're so beautiful, Jesus. Thank you for loving us and honoring us with your presence, the felt manifestation of your presence. We love you, and I just pray that your name would be honored here. Your son would be honored here. Your truth would be glorified and demonstrated with power, signs and wonders and conviction of your spirit. Let your kingdom come here today. Let your will be done here in this room and on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for that. For the increase of your government, the increase of your purpose and will in our lives, in our community. Come on, just invite that. Lord, let the increase, your influence, your truth take greater dominion in my soul, in my thoughts, in my marriage, in my relationships, in my family, in my business, in my community relationships, in everything I touch and do. May the kingdom of God permeate everything. Bring alignment to our life, body, soul, and spirit. Holy Ghost, Spirit of truth, come and disrupt. Disrupt and expose all that would want to hinder, confuse, and blind us from the light of your word. We take authority over the atmosphere. And I bind every lying spirit in the name of Jesus. Loose truth in the name of Jesus. You reign in this place. We thank you for freedom in the name of Jesus. Come on, freedom over every mind, every heart. Woo! Thank you that in you is life. Come on, he's good. He's so good. He's better than we know. And oh, how he wants us to know him in greater ways. You know, I love how the Lord says, come taste and see that the Lord is good. He doesn't want you to just know things about him. Do you hear me? God does not want you to just know things about God and have a couple verses you can hold on to give you some type of sense of security. He wants you to taste and see that God is good, that he's alive, that he's for you, that he is your Father. I love what the Spirit of God was releasing in the room about the love of the Father over sons in this place. And oh, how we need it. Oh, how we need to know the love of the Father. Because let me tell you something. Where the love of God is not reigning in your heart, in your emotions, in your understanding, in your thinking, you are in darkness and in bondage and more susceptible to deception and ongoing dysfunction and broken patterns that the enemy takes advantage of. Do you understand when you're grounded in the love of God and in the truth of God, you have a firm foundation to discern and understand the truth? But when I don't know the heart and nature and love of God at a heart level, at a heart experiential and emotional level, then I will take hook, line, and sinker every whispering accusation and lie that accuses my mind and my soul and tells me a different truth than what the gospel truth has declared to me in the scriptures. If I don't experientially know the love of God, then I am bound in captivity still. There's areas of our soul and life that are still captive and subject to confusion, despair, oppression, and demonic attack. Do you hear me? It is so important that we know the love of the Father and we learn to decloak ourselves undress ourselves of false ways of thinking and believing and behaving that are contrary to what God has declared to us in the gospel, that in him we are accepted, in him we are loved, in him we are forgiven, in him we are free of accusation, in him we are free and blameless and holy and justified before the Father. Hey! When I stand before the radiant purity and holiness of God, who is uncompromising in truth, when I stand before a righteous judge, I stand blameless, justified, free, not guilty, and not because I've got everything together, not because I've checked all the boxes and I do it all right, but simply because Jesus is my righteousness, has paid my debt, paid my sin, and represents me before the Father. Woo! That's the truth. That's how we can approach God, who is just and pure and holy and vehement against sin and wickedness and darkness. God showed his wrath against ungodliness by punishing Jesus. Jesus suffered wrath because of sin and all the works of the devil that which we were bound and enslaved to. God made a statement against his hatred against darkness. He didn't tolerate it. He crucified it. He punished it brutally. And made it an open spectacle before the powers of the air. And we're meant to hate what he hates in the same way. But do you understand? He did that we could stand before him blameless, clean in our conscience, that I could approach God with boldness and assurance through his Spirit because of the blood of Jesus that pleads my case for me. The blood of Jesus pleads my case. Not my good works, not how much money I've given, not how much I've read my Bible, not how much I've prayed in the secret place, not how much I've done good things and helped people in need, or no matter how many times I've prophesied, no matter how many times I've raised the dead or cast out a demon, no matter how many good things, no matter how much seeming faith you had, none of that justifies you before God. None of that gives you any greater value to God. You're not important to God because of the things that you do. Can you just say, oh, thank God. Oh, come on, just settle in and say, oh, thank God that I am loved apart from my performance. Yeah, that just makes you like ooey gooey, like, yes, you loved me when I was an idiot. Come on, someone say amen. He loved you while you were an idiot. I was an idiot. Sometimes I still am, but. I was a pervert. I'm no longer. But he loved me then. I was a manipulator. I was a liar, deceiver. I hid from people. I wanted to look better than I was. I wanted to be strong, respected. Check, 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 yeah. It was falsehood. I was an orphan, living for the praise and opinion of people, afraid to show my weakness and failure because somehow that would equal that I'd be rejected. And therefore, that kept me out of being established in the love and acceptance of the gospel, which left me open to deception, manipulation, cycles of bondage and sin I couldn't get free from, because you know why? I couldn't access the grace of God. You know why? Because I still was drinking from broken cisterns that I was trying to protect me. I was still controlling things to try to look pretty and look good. But it kept my heart bankrupt from drinking in the love of God and the truth of the gospel that sets me free and allows me to access the grace that leads to freedom. That tells me, wow, I'm loved, I'm accepted, I don't gotta hide nothing. I can come naked and unashamed before God and man, for God and man, and not be a slave to the accusations of my soul or a guilty conscience. I'm meant to have clarity in my mind, clarity in my spirit, that I could, here I am, naked and unashamed. Nothing to hide, nothing to be embarrassed about, nothing to be shameful of. Guilt does not rule my life or dictate my decisions. Fear will not rule me any longer when it once did. I need to know the love of God and in my heart. And let every way of thinking be subject to the truth of the love of God revealed in the gospel. and know that, man, I am blameless. I'm not guilty before him. That then empowers me to then put to death the other things that do disqualify me. If I try to work to get rid of the things that are unpleasing to God, because remember, he hates unrighteousness. He hates sin. He hates immorality. He hates sorcery, theft, murder, unforgiveness. He hates arrogance. He hates divisiveness. He hates it. Hates it. Do you hate it? Or do we flirt with it and play with it? He hates pornography. He loves you. But he hates wickedness. But he loves you. But if I try to deal and overcome the things that God hates from the place of my own flesh, the flesh can't deal with the flesh, friends. I can't just will myself to be better. There's no self-help. If you could will or control, just control yourself, man. If you could just control yourself to be better, then Jesus would have never had to have died. I need to tame this thing by the Spirit. Actually, I just need a new elastic. It's losing its grip. I can't fight the flesh with the flesh. You want to know how you put to death the deeds of the flesh? By the Spirit. That's what the scripture tells us. I put to death the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit, because the truth of the matter is, in him I'm already free. In him I'm already whole. In him, it's done. Jesus said it's finished for a reason, so that you don't have to work so hard. You must die from your striving and performance. You must die from your efforts to get better and be better. You can't. He crucified you. He doesn't want you to just be better or get better. He killed you when he died. When he died, you died. This is the mystical, supernatural reality and the hidden wisdom revealed in the cross. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became your sin. He became sin. He became sin. To utterly destroy it and kill it, that we could be raised with him by faith in him and to live in the newness of life in the power of God. This is the supernatural reality. When Christ died, every struggle and issue, addiction, perversion, arrogance, sorcery, witchcraft, every issue of the flesh, every trauma, every abuse, every injustice, every wrongdoing that exists, he bore on his flesh and punished it, put it in the grave, and then defied death by being raised to life. He conquered the grave that we can now live in victory. Can you say amen? This is not a fairy tale. This is truth that sets you free when you believe it. When we believe this truth, we experience the power of this truth. Do you know that what you believe determines the reality you live? The thoughts you think, what you rely upon, what you've come to trust or know to be true, determines the fruit you bear in your life, in your emotions, in your attitude, in your decisions, in your marriage, in your business. Do you understand that? Your life, your emotional composition, your freedom, your liberty is the manifestation of your belief system. Do you get that? And if you're seeing bad fruits, that means that there's something wrong in the root system of your beliefs. Truth sets you free. Truth sets you free. In him, you're already free. The bewitchment is you got to keep working. You got to keep trying to put on makeup on this corpse and make it look good. Try to be better. Try to pretend like everything's all right while on the inside you're a mess. Try to do all the good religious things, but inside you're a mess. You still feel like an orphan. You still feel like you're trying to earn favor and attention. You only feel good about yourself when you're doing good in your own eyes. You feel bad about yourself when you're not doing, you fall less under your expectations or other people's expectations. That whole system of performance and perfectionism is a system of death that is enmity against the gospel truth. It fights against the truth of the gospel that sets us free and that brings us into the acceptance as children of God who've been forgiven. And so some of the stuff I want to get into is this: one, we need to contend earnestly for the faith given to us. There is a war. There is a battle for your freedom. You get it? There is a real spiritual enemy called Satan with real spiritual powers, entities, minions, energies that literally war over your liberty and freedom. Untangible, unseen realities that influence you every day. Do you realize that? Our job is to be discerning, understand what's going on, and learn how to rule in the midst of our enemies. Learn how to see the truth, but there is an unseen reality that we have to learn to reconcile. Learn how to fight. There's war over your freedom. The devil doesn't want you free. The devil wants to rob, steal, kill, destroy. He hates you. Do you get that? You literally have a vehement enemy that hates you. And he's not trying to play nice. And that's why God's got to raise up warriors that know how to fight in the spirit. They know how to live in the truth. They know how to exercise their voice. Because so many believers don't know how to use their voice. They've been silenced and passive and quieted and oppressed. They don't know how to rule their soul. Let alone rule their life or walk in health in their marriage, their relationships. Because they're not exercising their faith in a real way that brings results and brings freedom. Because in him I'm already free. Then why are we in bondage? Well, it's all available right now. Do you know that right now, Jesus couldn't give you anything more than he's already given you? Think about it. He can't give you anything more than what he's already given you in his son. The Father has not withheld from you. Come on, say, the Father has not withheld from me. You lack nothing in him. Nothing. All things belong to him. And therefore, all things belong to you. You are Christ, and Christ is God's. So don't boast in things of this life or even the life to come. All things are yours. That's what Paul tells the Corinthian church. All things are yours. Stop boasting in the flesh and in stupid things. None of that matters. It's all yours. You're an heir of God. You're a co-heir with Jesus Christ. Don't act like a beggar. Don't get lost. You're missing the point. Everything you want right now has been given to you in Jesus Christ. That's really good news. 2 Peter 1 says, everything for life and godliness has been given to you by divine power. I'm not just talking about power. I'm not talking about a form of godliness. Real power by which you live in this freedom of everything for life and godliness. Through your knowledge, experiential, epigenosis, experiential knowledge of Jesus. Through which these beautiful, precious promises, you escape the corruption that's in the world through human lusts. You literally become a divine partaker of divine nature. What? You become a partaker of the very divine nature of God. You now are children of the Most High. Transferred out of darkness into light. Some of you think you're still here fighting for freedom to get free because you're not walking in victory. You've been born again. You've experienced Jesus. But yet you're not experiencing liberty, peace, joy, overcoming reality, seeing the power of God moving in your life. And you're like, what's the disconnect? So you're fighting for freedom, not realizing that you already have it. And you've been bewitched because you don't believe the gospel. But if you do have not trusted in Jesus, if you've not been born from above, then you are still in darkness. And no matter how much religious rhetoric you talk about, no matter how much scripture you quote, no matter how much you think you know about God, if you have not been born from above, truly submitted your soul to Jesus, believed completely on the cross, the resurrection, then you are still in darkness. You must be born again to even enter the kingdom. But if you have been born again and Christ is in you and you're in him, guess what? You're in the kingdom now and you have to learn to take off the things of the flesh. Are you tracking with me? This is really important. This is like the gospel 101, but we get so diluted by all our striving and all of our efforts and then all the defilements and bewitchments that have come into the church with bad teaching and self-help and counseling that has used all kinds of earth tactics and methodologies to try to leverage freedom, and we've not discerned the real problem. Because everything is finished in the gospel. There's nothing you could struggle with that Jesus hasn't provided for. Nothing. And you have no obligation to obey the flesh anymore, to be a slave to its lust. Remember, we're a divine partaker. We escape the corruption that's in the world through the lusts and desires of men. Come on, that's good news. This is really good news. This should like say, oh my gosh. I really can live in freedom. I really don't have to be enslaved to addiction. I really don't have to be enslaved to pornography. I really don't have to be bound by my bad temper. I really don't have to be an arrogant person that doesn't know how to apologize and repent. I really don't have to be an impatient, harsh, rash husband or father. I really don't have to be a manipulative, scheming person. I really don't have to contend to live my life that way. I can really live in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I really can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit and learn to walk in the Spirit. This is real, folks. But when we think I need to eat of a different tree of knowledge of good and evil and all these other tactics, I'm going to the wrong place. I don't want to eat from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. I don't want to have my own wisdom. I want the wisdom and foolishness of the cross. And freedom comes by faith. Faith in the truth. If I believe lies, those lies corrupt everything about you and determine how you live. Are you with me? If you've got your Bibles, I just wanted to emphasize this. I'm spending a lot of time here on this issue of freedom to lay a context, to lay a foundation, because it's really important that we have this. If I don't get to it all, which I do plan to get some of it, if I don't get to it all, you know, you got to go and listen to First Service because I started to outline, talked about some of this and then broke into this issue of identifying a spirit of Jezebel and what that is and how it operates and how it affects us and how it gains access into our life and destroys our life. So if I don't get into all of that, please make sure you listen to that and then work it out with your life groups. I will be sharing again next week and dismantling and exposing a religious spirit, because they actually go hand in hand. And it's really important we understand what it looks like in our life and how it afflicts us. Because here's the dynamic. In Christ, every issue of your flesh, which we're going to read together, has already been dealt with. And sometimes we live so long just struggling with all the issues or hang-ups or struggles or flesh. I'm just human, man. I got all these. That's not what the gospel teaches. And if that's the mindset we approach our faith, then we will be an impotent, weak people that never walk in victory and claim the inheritance Jesus gave us. He didn't give you a little bit of freedom. Oh, I can be happy with this little bit of freedom, and then while the rest of your life's in bondage and oppressed, I'll just be okay with that. That's such false humility, and it's such a lie. We sometimes settle. We settle for where we've been plundered, and God's saying, no, you need to wake up, rise up, and claim the promise I've given you. Everything I've given you is yes and amen. He's not withheld from you. But if he's dealt with every issue of the flesh, that means I'm not under obligation to obey it, right? That means I can live in freedom, for real. So then some of the warfare then comes from spiritual powers. The Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, right? We wrestle and fight and struggle against principalities, rulers in heavenly places. There's spiritual entities that, like I said before, influence, inflict, want to defile, want to sow thoughts in your mind to get you to take them. And if you believe them or agree with them through unrighteous behavior, unrighteous thinking, then you've given the devil a legal spiritual access and right into your life to torment you, oppress you, rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And the devil's not trying to play nice. One more time. He hates you. And if he can't fully take you out, he'll keep you in a place of lukewarmness where you're settled with a little bit of freedom, but the rest of your life's in bondage. And therefore, he's disabled you. He's disabled you from the greater things God's called you to. Because you know what? When we open up our mouth and miracles are meant to break out, guess what? That is only for those that are walking in freedom. The prayers of the righteous avail much. The people that are walking, if I'm crying out for God to break a region free or pray for my family member that's bound in pornography and addiction, but I'm looking at pornography, guess what? Do you think my mouth's going to loose anything? That's a bunch of hypocrisy? No, I have no authority No authority, because I'm not living in submission to the Lord. If I'm not under authority, then I have no authority. If I'm not submitted to authority, I have no authority to wield. If I'm trying to loose the government of God, the order of God in heaven, but I'm a rebel and lawless and do what I want, you have no authority. It's illegitimate. You're flapping your lips using Christian rhetoric with no substance to bring real effect to change anything. And so many Christians, we get the language, we hear the revelation in the teachings that we have access to on every podcast or whatever, or in the room, or you pick up on what's happening prophetically because it's just in the room, so you can use the right language. But if your life is diluted and defiled through agreement with the flesh or with the devil, then your religious antics bear no fruit. Are you with me? I can't pray for God's order when my life's in disorder. Unless I am saying, God, I'm in disorder, forgive me. I turn, I repent. That's the gift here, the gift of repentance. That's the beauty of that. So we're not bound to that. But the point is, we need to understand these spiritual dynamics because we're called to release the kingdom. We're called to break people free. That's the gospel. Set captives free. People that are bound, oppressed in darkness. We're called to set them free. I can't set people free if I'm in bondage. I can't export what I have not imported. You know what I'm saying? I can't tell you about something I myself have not tasted and seen. You know what I'm saying? God is a God of truth, and it requires alignment with the truth. So this is really important to know that outside of conquering and living above the power of sin by living in the power of the Spirit, I also have to know that I'm wrestling not just against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers that literally want to trap you, ensnare you, defile you, disqualify you, to get you to live in old destructive patterns, behaviors. The enemy wants to seduce you. Do you get it? There's a spirit of the age. The Bible says the spirit of the age literally blinds the minds of unbelievers. There's a literal battle that wants to stop you from seeing the light of the gospel, because if you can see the light of the gospel, you're free. If you see the light and respond to the light, because listen, some people see the light and they don't respond to light. They love their evil deeds and they hate the light and run. That's what John 3:16-19 actually says. Not just God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever shall believe in him shall have everlasting life. Read the rest of the passage. The world's already condemned. If you don't know Jesus, you're on a sinking ship, friends. And God desires that you be saved, delivered from the power of the devil and the power of sin. Are you with me? But he says, those that have come to the light, they practice the truth and have forsaken darkness. Those that do not or hate the light love their darkness and don't want to come to the light out of fear of exposure. That means the enemy loves to play with your life and oppress you by keeping you hidden. Are you with me? Keeping things in the dark, hiding in community. You want to know how one way you can stay safe? You stay totally naked and transparent with people in your life. Pastoral leadership. They can see anything and everything. Nothing is hidden. I'm not going to make things look prettier than they are. I'm not going to manipulate. I'm not going to hide. I'm going to live in the light as he's in the light. And if that's the case, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from every form of unrighteousness. And I have real fellowship with people that leads to joy. Because the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. But if I live in darkness, then I don't experience that. Okay, man, I've gone a long time on this. Listen, let's read Colossians 1. Just so you know that I'm not just making noise. I want you to see this in the scriptures briefly here. I'll read this, and then I want to read specifically Revelation chapter 2. But chapter 1, I mean, all this is pertinent, but I'm just going to reiterate. So starting at verse 13, chapter 1, it says, for he has, this is past tense, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Get this. This is really important. Visible and invisible realities created through him and by him. Whether it be thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy or preeminence. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Listen, this cannot just be good theological content. This has got to be alive to you. This is a reality, friends. All things in heaven and earth. Come on, say all things. That means nothing's exempt. That means you cannot play the victim in any way. Listen, I have been victimized, but I'm by no means a victim. Christ has reconciled all things. All things. I don't need to complain about my past. I can recognize it, own it, and let God do a good work. But guess what? My past is not my truth. My real past is the fact that I died when he died. That's my past. My past is that I was put in the grave with Jesus and I was raised with him. My past says I'm in heaven right now, seated in heavenly places. That's my past. I don't know about you. Is that your past? You should say yes. Listen. Once, you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Because remember, your behavior reinforces a way of thinking. Do you get it? And your thinking reinforces behavior. This is how strongholds and patterns and habits develop in your life. If I do something regularly, well, then I'm going to start identifying with what my failures or my patterns or my behavior. The Bible says we suppress, in Romans 1, it says we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Even if, because God has put the truth in you. God gave you a conscience for a reason. And he speaks through your conscience. But if you reject your conscience and fail to listen to that voice and persist in doing evil deeds or practicing unrighteousness, as the Bible says, you actually harden your conscience or sear your conscience. And of course, then we're utterly deceived and we have no conviction. But we were alienated because of this pattern of our minds and evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you've heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Oh, this is so good. Let's go into chapter 2 real quick. Again, all this is so good. But it says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Not when you get better. Come on, right now. In Christ you've been brought to fullness. You need to set your mind on this, because that changes the vantage point by which you approach your life. I'm not asking God for something he already gave me. Many of us do that. And rather than turning from our bewitchments and believing the gospel of what I already possess and giving thanks to God for it. That's why I can approach God from the disposition of thanksgiving, not requests as an orphan or a widow. I'm coming as a son who's loved and been redeemed and whom the Father delights to answer. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a very different disposition on how you approach God, how you approach your life. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, come on, say the whole self. Not just a little bit. Listen, it's not just a little bit. It's okay, say it. Not just a little bit. Not like, oh yeah, I got set free first with Jesus in this area of my life, but the rest of it, you know, I gotta, you know what, I gotta go take care of the rest of myself. I got to get the rest of my life in order, you know. Listen to me. This is really important. Just like Paul told the Galatians, why are you trying to perfect in your flesh what you began in the spirit? Why are you now turning to your own efforts and works to try to make yourself righteous and good to earn more of the spirit in your life? He says, did you receive the spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Hello? While they were wicked, evil, twisted idiots. While they were idiots, God poured out his spirit on them. You don't got to get better. to receive more from God. What you need to do is surrender and believe the truth. It's not about getting better to then say, here I am, God, I've made myself clean. No, we do cleanse ourselves in the blood of the Lamb. We do cleanse ourselves and put to death the deeds of the flesh. But from this revelation, he's already set me free. I have to believe this truth. This is what empowers me to do that. It's a different way in which you approach liberty. Because if I try to do it in my own strength, I will remain in bondage and then wonder why. I'll always be angry at God, feel dissatisfied, searching for the next best thing, the next best ministry to try to help me. The gospel is the gospel. He can give you no more. In him, everything that's his, he releases to you. If I align myself with the truth, I can drink from the ever-flowing, inexhaustible well of Christ and the inexhaustible nature of his divine goodness. This is real. Your whole self that was ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. It's what he did, not what you do. He did this. This is the truth of what already happened, whether you believe it or not. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. He canceled out the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it all away and he nailed it to the cross. Woo! Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. That's really good. We live so often with this, listening to the accusations in our mind, in our heart, that want to disqualify us, that make us want to start jumping through religious hoops to feel better about ourselves so that we can have confidence before God. When you say, no, you can't do that, friends. This is the gospel. He's forgiven you all your sins. Your own conscience is diluted because you've not come to simply say, here I am. You're right. I've done this. I believe this. I'm taking this off, and I'm going to believe the gospel, and I'm going to receive my freedom. Because it's free right now. You're free right now. Are you guys still with me? Is this too much? You all good? Huh? How shall I wrap this up? Whether I go into the... Yeah, no pun intended. Exactly. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to jump into this whole Jezebel thing. You're just going to have to listen to the service, last service, a little bit. But I will say this, that God is on an assignment to dethrone spiritual powers that take advantage of us living in areas of unbelief or areas of sin. We need to understand that there's a difference between personal growth and our character, right? We grow. See, we all need to grow. It's not like suddenly I come out of the womb born again as a fully mature man in Christ. No, we grow in grace. We grow in wisdom. We grow in favor, right? We grow in the truth. Sanctification is a lifelong journey of applying the truth. That's what God does. We are being changed from glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith. It's always about forward progress. So we're continually being changed as we behold the truth here, right? So that doesn't stop. But this dynamic versus the things that need genuine healing, right? The Holy Spirit is so personal. The love of God is so real. He wants to touch the areas that are bruised and broken. This is what he does. He gives beauty for ashes. He gives joy for real mourning. He gives you a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. A spirit of heaviness. Do you see this? It's not just, oh, I feel heavy today. There's a spirit of heaviness. There's spiritual powers that want to oppress you, afflict you, torment you. And there's open doors through areas like unforgiveness. When we manipulate, when we lie, when we deceive. When we participate with immoral thinking, When we meditate and think on unrighteous, unwholesome things, the Bible says when you look at worthless things, they make you worthless. When you put things before God, it's called idolatry. It opens the door for spiritual powers to afflict your life and rob from you when God wants freedom from you, as we've talked about this whole beginning. Right? And in this season, right now, God is wanting to set you free. Freedom is your portion. Every one of you. God wants healthy marriages, healthy hearts, a healthy community. And he doesn't want you a little bit free. He wants you completely free so that you're crushing the head of the enemy under your feet. Do you know what I'm saying? You're meant to crush Satan under your feet, not tolerate these things that pester your life, that afflict your life, that torment your mind. Sometimes you think your thoughts that you're thinking are just yours, and they're not. They're lying spirits that want to get you to take the bait. The enemy's power or authority in your life is because you've believed his whispers. Words that are spoken in your mind or in your heart, or beliefs about yourself that are contrary to the truth. You must believe the truth and it will set you free. But there's spirits that speak and they want to silence your voice. They want to emasculate you in the spirit. And one of these spirits that we're attacking in this season is this spirit called Jezebel. God has referenced this woman and this spirit multiple times in scripture. But let me tell you something too. The spirit of Jezebel is a non-gender. Both men and women can operate in this demonic spirit. Spirits are non-gender anyway, so you got to understand that. A spirit of Jezebel is not just an immoral woman or seductress. No. The function of the spirit is that it does seduce. And the spirit of Jezebel seduces God's servants into sexual immorality, into idolatry and practices and compromises that disqualify them and defile them and ultimately destroys them. She was a murderer. She was a witch. She causes depression and fear, hopelessness, causes you to want to isolate in your life, causes absolute abnormal exhaustion. If you deal with abnormal exhaustion, do you know that it might not just be rooted in your lymph nodes? It might not just be your thyroids. It might not just be the potato chips you eat. It could be all that too. It could be that. But do you know that part of the actual affliction of this spirit is that it will manifest in exhaustion? Or how about when you're in a place of prayer or reading your Bible, you can't help but always just fall asleep? Anyone ever experienced that? Oh yeah, that's a spirit. And we just think, oh, it's just me, I'm just tired. I can't. And then we feel like, oh, I'm a disqualified Christian because I can't stay awake and read my Bible. It's a spirit that hates you. It's a spirit that hates you, that doesn't want you to drink from the rock, that doesn't want you to encounter Christ. It wants to blind you, rob from you, steal from you. Obsessive thoughts of suicide, giving up, despair. That's a spirit. If you've agreed with it, meditated on it, cut yourself, wanted to give up, agreed with it, that's a spirit and an open door to a spirit in your life. And now it's like, okay, I've done that. Great. We can repent. We can renounce participating with the lie. But then we have to say, get out. Leave. You have no place in my body, in my mind, in my family, in my children. Get out. Get out. Get out. Do you understand? The voice of Jezebel, the spirit, wants to literally silence you and oppress you. She killed the prophets of God. She led them into immorality and into idolatry. She made you more fascinated with earthly, carnal things that drew you away from fiery devotion to God. She emasculates you. She takes away your fight. She leads to debilitating fear. I just want to share a few more things about this, and then I want to respond. I want to pray into this, because God wants to set some of you free. We're going to do more work into this stuff, but I'm just giving you a little bit here, because it's important. Jezebel cannot be tolerated. You look at Revelation 2. This was the one thing. I'm not going to read the whole passage for time's sake. This was the one thing. God and Jesus is affirming the church, saying you're abounding in love and works and you're persevering. You're doing all this great stuff for me. I love that. I love you. But I have this one thing against you. You tolerate this woman, Jezebel. You tolerate this woman, Jezebel, and her teachings, her influence, the words, the understanding, the essence, the ways that she influences us in how we orient our lives that lead us into sexual immorality. Again, eating food sacrificed by idols. I've given her time to repent. She won't repent. Man, arrogance and pride, if you have a hard time saying I'm sorry and apologizing and humbling yourself, you know that's a massive open door to this spirit. She'll love you. Humility helps rout this thing out. But she wants to seduce, manipulate, intimidate, sting you with fear and discouragement and despair, exhaust you, get you to ultimately take your life, disqualify you from ministry. And it's seducing, it's manipulative, it moves with intimidation. Jesus says, listen, I will cast her on a bed of suffering, but I'll also make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I'll strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds. I will repay each one of you according to your deeds. Those that agree with the Spirit, they end up getting thrown into a sick bed themselves. If you have prolonged sickness in your life, you know that it might be a spirit. Not just inflicted by the enemy, but God will chastise you and give you over to the enemy. You know, Jesus says this, if you don't forgive, I will hand you over to the jailer and they will torment you. If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. That's what he says. Paul says, I turn people over to Satan that he might buffet and destroy their flesh, that hopefully their spirit would be saved in the end. What's that about? There's real afflicting spirits that if you give them the legal right to be there because you believed a lie or you're choosing to practice unrighteousness, then you're giving the enemy permission to dominate you. And that is not what Jesus has ordained for you. Freedom is your portion. Life is your portion. Destiny is your portion. Hope is your portion. Healing is your portion. Deliverance is your portion. Clarity of mind. If you live under confusion, bondage, you're never satisfied. Always discontented. These are all things. You have to control everything. There's just so much here. Let me go back to the beginning for a moment. One major open door to this spirit is dealing with massive insecurities and rejection. Typically, that comes in through some type of trauma and abuse in your life. Because when you are rejected or feel that people... What you do is you control things, you manage things to keep yourself in a certain light of safety. Control comes to keep people from hurting you. That is an open door of the demonic. Insecure people that deal with rejection that don't know the love of the Father are very susceptible to this. But today, we're going to dethrone this and claim our sonship, claim that we are daughters and sons of the King. Repent where we need to repent. See, remember, whatever we tolerate, we empower. You could be being controlled, or you could be controlling others. You could be manipulating others. Whining until you get your way. Guess what? That might be a spirit influencing your life, causing you to live in an ungodly way. Wisdom from God is peaceable and pure and gentle and willing to reason. If you're so stubborn and want your way, guess what? You're inviting demons into your life through ungodly thinking and behaving. We're going to pray. Because listen, freedoms aren't, you don't got to kick yourself. We need to turn and repent and not tolerate. What we tolerate, we will empower to ensnare us. Today, and in moving forward, God is putting something in motion to attack this spirit in our midst so that we can be free to set others free. Do you hear what I'm saying? You must be free that you can administer freedom. Because you're called to release freedom. But we got to kick her out of the towers, man.
Yeah, before Josiah prays, one of the things we were talking about is when Jehu went and started destroying the spirit of Jezebel, you know, basically the works of darkness. He was saying, yeah, Sean, and it was really awesome because he went somewhere, he broke the power of Jezebel, and then everybody that got set free from it joined that force, joined that army of the Lord, that spiritual army, and they started going to the next place in more assembled, more mobilized to destroy more works of darkness. And that's what I saw today. I really feel like Many of you have been brought into this place because something's happened in your heart and your life, and something's been sparked. There's a catalytic thing that's taking place. You sense it inside you. And God wants to finish that work off here with prayer and demonstration of God touching your life and changing you. But then there is a call for you to join this army, this force, and join this mobilization, because you have a family here that is willing to fight with you against darkness, oppression. Okay, so there's this powerful call here, right? It's full circle. So we're gonna start to pray. We're gonna start to pray for the Holy Spirit to just really set people free, finish this work. But you are invited. This is a call to join a family who fights together, a family who will go and join together their hearts. And you know, this is why it's important. You join a life group because you need the follow through. You need the processing. You need the strengthening. And then we become this fortified family of God that begins to destroy the works of darkness in a more powerful way. So let's do this.
Come on. We gotta do it. That scene where Jehu, I love it. I love it. It's so powerful. Every person that came from that tribe to attack Jehu, they ended up joining his army. And then finally, who threw Jezebel out of the towers? Was it Jehu? It was the eunuchs that were under her captivity. They came out from her bewitchment, and Jehu said, throw her down. And they were like, yes, we don't need to tolerate this anymore. Out with you. And everything Elijah had prophesied came to pass. Everything. See, a man of war rose up in the zeal of the Lord. See, the increase of God's government, the Bible says the zeal of the Lord of hosts accomplished this. And you, my beloved, must rise up in the zeal of the Lord to say, I will not tolerate. I will not be passive. I will not be quiet. All right, stand with me. Hey! All I'm saying is that you got to throw her out of the towers. Nobody can do that for you. I can pray over you 1,000 times, but if you don't repent, if you don't throw her out of the towers of your mind, of your life, there's no breakthrough. You cannot coexist. So even now, as you begin to do business, if this resonates with you, if you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, or I've been feeling the stings of isolation and depression and hopelessness and fear, if you've been overly exhausted, shut down. Either way, if you've been in sexual immorality, if you have manipulated, you have deceived and lied, if you've been in sexual immorality, if you've agreed with these things, friends, it's time to repent. If you've withheld truths from other people and wanted to prop yourself up to look better than you are and use flattery to gain favor and position yourself to manipulate and leaned on systems of control to manage and stay safe, friends, you must repent of that right now. I want to encourage you to do that. If you have been arrogant and prideful and resisted authority, and let me tell you something too, the spirit of Jezebel will cause you to be attracted to someone like an Ahab, who is passive and weak-willed and will allow themselves to be manipulated. Friends, we need to repent of tolerating Jezebel. Let's just do that together right now. And if you want prayer, if you specifically want people to pray over you, break things off you, I want you to do business first, but then I want you to come up. Come on, let's just pray right now. We repent of tolerating the spirit of Jezebel. Come on, you got to use your mouth. We are turning from tolerating sexual immorality. We turn from tolerating fear and intimidation, from cowering down. We turn from every manipulative way. We repent and renounce of every form of participation with fear and phobias and lies concerning ourselves. We repent of wanting to give up. We repent of despairing, for losing hope in the truth. We turn from and renounce despair. We renounce systems of control. We renounce holding on to our disappointments. Come on, you gotta let them all go. You gotta let it all go. let go of your hurt, if you hold on to your pain, it will possess you. That's not your identity. Promise, promise belongs to you. Just keep doing business. Listen, this is you turning. Lord, we recognize that we have not believed the gospel. We repent of forming. We repent of renounce, God, striving to position ourselves in places of safety. The spirit of Jezebel also resists the move of the Holy Spirit. It resists the prophetic voice. Where you've slandered and backbitten. Where you've spoken against. Listen, Jezebel, she spoke curses. She slandered God's people. She slandered authority. If you've slandered authority, if you've agreed with the enemy through gossip, through slander, through speaking illy of a brother, a sister, a leader, repent, renounce slander. Renounce agreeing with the enemy. Renounce agreeing with the accuser. Come on, throw down the enemy. Where you've had idolatry, where you've looked to people, you've looked to men, you've looked to women to satisfy a need in your soul, repent. Where you've loved money more than God, renounce and repent of loving money. The spirit of mammon cannot serve two masters.
There's a lot more people here that need prayer. If you need prayer, listen, just come down. There's like 5 or 6, 7 of us that are going to just cover. We're just going to pray. You need a place of just a breakthrough agreement, right? And let God just loose something in your heart, your life, and we're going to just move from this place and expect God to just release something in your heart.
Hey, and if you're praying for people, make sure that you're having them repent. Make sure you're having them renounce. They have to do the work. They have to do the work. Make sure that people are themselves confessing. Come on, we renounce hiddenness. Come on, the Lord will set you free today. If you have murder in your heart, hatred in your heart, if you have unrighteous anger in your soul, those people, when you've used your beauty to prostitute yourself in the spirit by wanting people's eyes on you, that is seducing, seductress, renounce being a seductive one, flaunting your body, flaunting your gifts, renounce, renounce using your gifts to attract people to yourself. And renounce, God will meet you. He'll break things. You got to use your voice. It's okay. Repentance is a gift. If you're a wife in here and you have usurped your husband's authority, you've usurped and pressed your will over his and manipulated, you need to repent of manipulating and violating his authority as leader. Men, if you've been passive and allowed yourself to be manipulated and failed to lead your home and your marriage, repent. Repent of passivity. If you've been vindictive in any way, renounce being vindictive, hurtful in your heart. Come on, these are where we just renounce. We take off the old, we put on Christ. We repent of all sexual immorality. We repent of looking at worthless things. We repent of drinking from the well of that whore Jezebel. Jezebel, I put you on notice. Let my people go. Let the Lord's people go now. Loose your grip right now. Let her go. Let him go. Come out of hiding, you filthy spirit. Come out of hiding, you filthy spirit. Yourself be controlled. You've come under the dominion of another, and that is not Christ. You've taken a persuasion that does not come from God.